First candle, what was that? What was that? Please say it before it burns my fingers. I cannot hear you.
Prophecy.
Prophecy, good, thank you so much. It's coming so close to my fingers. Okay, the prophecy candle. And we are reminded very, very much that our faith is based upon the prophetic word of God. And we have not believed in vain. The prophetic word will be fulfilled. What was the second candle? Please say it louder. Thank you. There we go. And there was a prophecy in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And they're not to ask you to recite that because my fingers will be burnt. But we do know that there was a prophecy that says the Lord Jesus, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And lo and behold, it was fulfilled. You know, I just read a book. I Christmas time, I tried to read a new book. And I was very deeply moved by this book that talked about how there was a little girl, you know, who was involved in a Christmas play in a church. And because she attended practices late two times, her role as angel, as an angel, was given to somebody else, and she was going to play the role of a sheep. And she was very, very upset about that. What is so big about the role of a sheep? Until there was a very kind uncle who came up to her and said, you know, it's not so bad, because you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ was also called the Lamb of God. And that sort of cheered her up a little bit. But you know, as we think in terms of life, of how many people go through so many difficulties, the third candle is always uplifting. And it is called the shepherd's candle. And we read in Luke chapter 2 that the shepherds were the people who were specially informed. And this Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds went to check it out. And great was their joy. What is the meaning of the shepherd's candle? And it tells us that anybody, everyone, no matter how low your station in life may be, no matter how challenging, no matter how difficult your life may be, you too may hear the wonderful good news of salvation in Christ Jesus. And so, Luke chapter 1, verse 77. What was that verse again? This Sunday's verse. To give the knowledge. So I wanted to keep it in doubt so you cannot turn to your Bible. I want to know. Okay, let's try that. To give the knowledge of his salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. I'm saying it all alone by myself. Okay, let's try that. Maybe with a little bit more light. Okay, Luke 1:77. Okay, let's try. If you need, it's on page 10. Let's try that. Okay, there we go. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins. That didn't go down so well, did it? Okay, well, let's be mindful of this. Okay, well, thank you. Let's have lights back on. This morning we turn to the book of Isaiah. Now this time we look at the 28th chapter. And chapter 28 is challenging, to say the least, to read and to understand. But talking about challenges, and for some people, Christmas is always a challenging thing. Tomorrow I leave for Myanmar ministry, and there are challenges there, I must tell you. One of our churches has become a refugee center for people who are fleeing for their lives.
I just received an email 2 days ago of the cook for our school, and the son of this cook, they just suddenly told me, and they should have told me earlier, but didn't. This little boy has not been able to open his eyes for one eye for 1 week. It probably be an infection problem. They are more concerned about the cost of it all. And then I told them, I said, you must attend to these things urgently. So he's going to be receiving medical attention this week. Or he has gone already. But you know, these are the challenges of life that we are seeing. Nearer home, I have notes from Jerry Jung, and she writes, and I have her permission to share with you what she said. She said, Pastor, as Christmas draws near, I have been seeking to focus on the name Emmanuel. There's a little poem written on Emmanuel this Sunday. And truly, as I ponder, the name grows so much more significant to me. Jerry had leukemia. She had a blood transplant and everything else. And, you know, I was just thinking in terms of she had a bone marrow thing done as well. And they said it was a perfect match, sister, 100%. One difference, she's not twin. So even sister, 100%, the body keeps on rejecting, have a rejection problem. And it's a very serious problem. She's had lung collapse several times this year. And she goes through a very difficult time. And she says, during this festive season, with all the excitement, buzz, good cheers, beautiful Christmas lights, happy songs, it is so easy to fall into the fallacy trap that Christmas month is going to be smooth sailing and sweet. Nothing should go wrong. But I know better that life doesn't work this way. When life seems to derail, especially during Christmas month, I feel the sweetness to speak the name Emmanuel so much more. God didn't merely come down to show that He's a God to take away the tough times. He came to be with us during the tough times. And so He said He saw our fears and prepared such consolation for us, His Son. Over the years, when it comes to bidding farewell to people, there's so much that I would like to say in the final moments spent are precious. But when Jesus left the world to return to heaven, His last sentence was, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Oh, how much Jesus cares for us. He says, I want to hold on to this name as I walk through the woods. And challenges are there. And we read about these challenges in Isaiah 28. Let's take a look at some of the challenges and the problems that were obviously there. Chapter 28, we read, Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkard of Ephraim. Glorious beauty is a fading flower. And we read the same thing in verses 3 and 4. In verse 7, we read, They also have erred through wine. Through intoxicating drink, they are out of the way. The priest, the prophet, they have erred through intoxicating drink. Swallowed up by wine, they are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. All tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. And some of the things that they taught wrongly, but powerfully, verses 14 and 15. You said, we have made a covenant with death. With Sheol, we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. We have made lies our refuge. Under falsehood, we have hidden ourselves. And with such false teachings, they deceive so many people, unfortunately. You know, as we think in terms of all the problems and the challenges Israel had, What was the answer? To us, the word is Christmas. But what does it mean to the people? Let's spell Christmas in a different way. What is it? And I think the answer is best to look at the word change. And I think this is wonderful to just thank God for the change that can take place. And we see this very, very, very clearly. And I think this is something that we want to really, really thank God for. Okay? But let's take a look at some of the changes that we look at. Chapter 28 and verse 5, we read the change of leadership, the change of circumstances, the change of things that were wrong, and instead of a crown of pride, in verse 8 or verse 5 we read, in that day the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory, a diadem of beauty to the remnants of his people. For a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. For strength to those who turn back the battle at the gates. That's change. There was going to be a change of leadership. The Lord was going to come in. He was going to be the crown of the country, of the nation. And change is a wonderful thing. Instead of a crown of pride, instead of a crown that leads people to forget themselves and they drink themselves silly, instead of that, there is now far, far better, a crown of glory, a crown of diadem of beauty. But how does this crown come in? I think this is something that we need to think about very carefully. How does this crown come in? And it began with a cradle. That cradle that housed the Lord Jesus Christ. So that crown took a number of steps. One, the cradle. And that is what we remember. Went on further to talk about how that crown, the cradle, then in time to come, the whole idea of the church was already there in place in Isaiah 28. At least in its inception. And so we read in verse 16, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And so the change went on from the cradle to the cornerstone of the church. And wonderful to know this. This is the cornerstone that we speak about here. A tried stone. And this was going to be cited in Psalm 118, verse 22. And this is also going to be found in a book, in Paul's writings. How wonderful it is to know that the Lord is going to provide a change, an answer to the problems of the world. That his answer is quite different. It's not going to be an instantaneous snap of the fingers and everything is made right. And this is something that Jerry understands and appreciates. It is just simply the name Emmanuel. And so at Christmas time, we think of the cradle that kept the little baby. And then he went on to grow up and he became the cornerstone of the church. And that is a wonderful thing that we need to look at. The fulfillment of the prophecy. How do we understand this? As we look at it, we see the crown of it all one of these days. And this word is just absolutely wonderful. And we read in chapter 28, verse 16, I lay in Zion. And Zion became the concept of which the church is a part. So we have the crown that is there, the cradle that we remember the Lord Jesus Christ's birth. We look at the cornerstone of church, but the concept is Zion. And the concept is a glorious one. But let's look at the book of Hebrews at chapter 12, and we will see this concept declared there and very carefully, beautifully described. But let's take a look at this. Okay? In verse 22. The concept of Zion was mentioned in Isaiah 28. The fulfillment, the concept was further developed to in chapter 12 and verse 22 in the book of Hebrews. Let's take a look at this. But you have come to Mount Zion. Remember, the Lord said He will look at Mount Zion. Now, there are seven wonderful things of this concept of Zion that we want to take note of. Okay, what is this Mount Zion? The concept, it is the city of the living God. One. Two, it is the heavenly Jerusalem. Three, it is made up of innumerable company of angels. Four, the general assembly and church of the firstborn ones. That's the translation. Not the firstborn, the Lord Jesus Christ, but the firstborn ones. In other words, every single believer in Christ Jesus will share the status of firstborn in this particular thing, or in this particular Zion concept. To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speak better things than that of Abel. And so the change that God offers are to be found in these three things. It began with a cradle. The crown is there. The cradle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the Lord Jesus Christ would one day become the cornerstone of the church, so that we can understand the concept of Zion. It's so wonderful to know that we are part of that innumerable company, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, registered in heaven. I like this word registered, because this word registered is a very beautiful word in the Old Testament. When people were born in Jerusalem, their names are registered there. In the book of Revelation, the names of all believers are registered there. So the members who are today, they become members in our church, they are registered with us. And your names are registered in heaven. This is the concept of Zion. Isn't it beautiful? Yes, there will be challenges. But what's the answer to the challenges? Change. Christ made that change possible. He came in a cradle at Bethlehem, went on to become the cornerstone of the church, introducing to us, here is the mediator of the new covenant. He introduces to us, confirms and fulfills the concept of Zion. Isn't that wonderful? And I just hope that these three things will be something that you will keep close to your heart. And this morning, as we prepare to give an offering, I just want to tell you how touched I was to receive a special gift of $20,000. And it was not dedicated to Bethany 4. It was simply dedicated to the training of new pastors. Well, I thought that was a beautiful, beautiful thought. Thank you. And this is going to we're going to see further changes. And thank God for each one who understands all these things.